Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it is me, Ellie Gibson.
And we have tonight not one, but two Hoopers in the house.
Woo-hoo.
We have Mod and a Fod.
Hanging with Mr. Hooper and his wife.
Yes,
exciting times.
It's Clemmie and Simon Hooper. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome back to the podcast, Clemmie. You've been on a few times now.
Where's my plaque?
We need a blue plaque.
I need a blue. I know, she just keeps coming back. But this time I've got someone far more interesting than me.
It's me!
Hey!
Well, you guys have a lot to answer for anyway. Every time she keeps coming back, she's hammered and wearing spandex.
You say that, Simon. Last time we put her in a taxi and sent her home, next thing we knew, there was a photo on Instagram of you in a capsule.
Oh, I've forgotten about that. I've been drinking on my own.
No catsuits tonight, I'm afraid.
Why not?
Until later.
Okay. We are not wearing catsuits. We can confirm.
I'm actually wearing slippers.
You're in lovely slippers. I'm in a £1 pleather skirt from Primark.
Is this the infamous one?
Yes. Yes, I've worn it many times. What are you wearing, Simon?
My standard dad outfit, which are the jeans that I've had for the last 6 years, some Converse, and a jumper, which I think might be my dad's.
I'm going to say this to you, Simon. It's October and you're not wearing socks. Because I feel I'm disconcerted.
No,
socks he has issues.
Are coffins for the feet. I don't wear socks. I don't like socks. I would prefer to have stinky feet and ruin the whole family's ambience just so that my feet don't have to wear socks.
Don't you get blisters?
No. I don't. I'm not like a girl. I don't wear little things at the back of my ankle.
I bought him those, socks. Well, I bought him like trainer socks. So yeah. You're wearing socks, but you can't see them.
And what did I say?
I feel like a woman.
Yes, exactly.
In the words of Shania Twain. He literally did. He's like, I feel like a woman. I can't wear
bow, but out, but out. But I like sock. I mean, I hate the summer for lots of reasons. But one of the things is you can't wear socks. I cannot wait to start wearing socks again in the autumn. You're a freak, is what I'm saying, Simon. You're a freak.
No, I think that women generally have bad circulation.
You're in the wrong company.
Well, I'm always in the wrong company. I'm surrounded by females all the time. I feel that there is nothing wrong with having an ankle out in November or December.
You catch the death.
He has got a really good point about this.
I think the Victorians had a really good point about this. No ankles ever. Socks. 24/7.
You don't actually get a cold ankle. You don't really get cold on your ankle.
Do you
get cold? No, because you get cold on your
ankle. You wear socks.
Well, I have gone out and not worn socks. So you get cold on your hands because it's an extremity and your toes, but not your ankle.
We've got here two of the sort of, you know, most influential, sort of high-powered parent bloggers in Britain.
On.
And we're just talking about their fucking socks. We're just talking about hosiery. That's what everyone wants to hear, Fod and Mod chatting about.
Do you know what the sad thing is? I don't even buy my own socks.
Jesus wept. Where do you get your socks from?
Clemmie buys them.
I buy his clothes and he doesn't even wear them.
I'm just going to anonymously send you socks from now on. Just wear them, Simon.
So basically this podcast is going to be cool. I already know the title of this episode. It's Let's Talk About Socks with Clemmie and Simon.
Let's talk about socks, babe.
Yay! That was
really
nice.
Well done, everyone. That is what I was alluding to.
But you didn't do the tune.
No, because I didn't want to sound like a twat. But well done. Well done, everyone. So look, really, I mean, you two need no introduction, but do us one anyway. Let's start with you, Clemmie. Who are you? What are you for?
Well, I am Clemmy, and recently I was asked how old I was, and I couldn't remember. I'm in that, like, once you're past 30, you just don't know. I'm a midwife at a local hospital on labour ward. I'm a mum to four daughters, 10, 7, and the twins are 20 months. I guess I'm an author now, as I've
had a... Yes, you are. Officially,
I'll take it. All right.
You What's your author? Book called? Come on, plug it in.
It's called How to Grow a Baby and Push It Out. It's still out. It's still selling, which is brilliant. And I've just finished doing the edits for the second one, which is out next year.
Is it How to Grow a Baby and Push It Back In?
Yeah.
Because I could really do that. I would really like that.
And I guess I'm an Insta-mum.
You're an influencer.
Oh, I just feel so uncomfortable even saying that. For anyone that follows me, I'm Mother of Daughters on Instagram. And I have a husband, and he is called...
Simon Hooper, and you'll recognise me from Instagram, called Father of Daughters, or, as I'm now known, FOD.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I never saw coming.
No. Now, here's my question. Do you call each other... modern FOD in
Absolutely
private?
Absolutely not.
Can you imagine?
Oh, come on, FOD, harder.
Oh my God.
Oh my FOD.
Yeah, there's lots of taglines that go with all of that.
Oh my God.
Some people have started calling us POD, Parents of Daughters.
Oh, Jesus.
The Collective.
That's... Yeah, which is disconcerting.
At least you know what to call your podcast. I mean, it would be confusing in some ways.
Podcast.
What's quite strange now is that people do recognise me because we've got, well, I've got 700,000 followers and Clemmy's got 360-odd. And so people,
not that it's a competition, guys. Am I right?
It hasn't been a competition for a long time, actually.
It's all coming out now.
Anyway,
I love the telly on the wall you've got here.
Yeah.
Smiley face is lovely. Yeah.
The graphs all over the bathroom are amazing.
Check, another one for FOD. What I do find a little bit strange is people calling FOD out in public.
Mm.
So they don't know my real name. And they'll just go, oh, FOD! And then not say anything else. And just kind of talk to me for a little bit, or talk at me, and I'll nod and say, yeah, that's, oh yeah, nice to meet you, Gov, that's great, yeah, yeah, okay, and then kind of go about my business. But yeah, that's something that I didn't see happening 18, 20 months ago when I started my Instagram.
Well, let's talk about that, because how did you get involved? Because obviously, Clemmy, you know, you've been doing it for a few years, and we've had you on the podcast a couple of times before.
Yeah, well, my blog started 6.5 years ago, Gas and Air blog, which started when I was on maternity leave after my second daughter, and I, this was before Instagram, I kind of...
What? There was a time before Instagram, Clemmy?
Oh my goodness, can you imagine?
I can't, I won't.
I joined Instagram quite late to the party, and, you know, like anyone else, I used Instagram back then for filtering a photo, and then my Instagram just kind of developed as things changed for me, and then obviously had the twin. So I think the interest sort of peaked a little bit. People were just like, yeah, they've got four daughters, that's quite interesting. And obviously I'm a midwife. And then Simon decided that he was fed up of it just being about mums, and he was like, well, you say why you joined it.
Well, I had an Instagram account for 2 or 3 years maybe before, and I think I did pretty much what every other male did. I posted
dick
photos.
Pics. Oh, okay.
Yeah, just day after day.
There's a lot of cock.
Dick pics. That's all I did.
Cockety cock.
And a bike.
It was the same thing every day.
Was it like 8 p.m? Here's my god.
Well, no, I'd mix it up with a bit of, is it cock or ball?
Oh, yeah.
Great game.
I love that game.
Now, listen, that's not what actually happened. So, I would post pictures of being on holiday, cars, sports teams, architecture I liked, just being out with friends. Yeah, we're all bored.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that Clemmy was using it for a completely different reason. So she created a little community of people to talk about parenting. But one of the things that was really absent was a male voice. It was mums all talking to each other about how annoying their kids were and blah, 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 and how horrible their husbands were and how they didn't pull their weight. And I just thought, well, that's not that balanced. So I thought, well, I think I'm quite funny. That sounds terrible.
Oh.
And I enjoy...
No, you did say quite funny. You are British. Come
on. Thanks very much. It's still a little bit of self-deprecation.
It's not totally funny. That's fine.
And I just got to the point in my life where I now had four daughters, including twins who may or may not be identical. We're not 100% sure, but
fact that you can't tell them apart, Simon, is very obvious.
Yeah, but I think this is down to male blindness. Like, oh, I just don't have this facial recognition thing where I can tell who's who. But, you know, it'll happen at some point when they can tell me their name.
You do know one of them's Ginger. No.
And a boy.
I'm not colourblind as well. So anyway, yeah, Clemmy had her Instagram going, and then I thought, well, I should start mine. So mine started, and it kind of went off quite quickly because Clemmy gave me the boost. She was like, well, okay, you should, you know, I'll plug you and see where it goes.
And look at her regretting that decision.
And what did you say, Simon? What was the thing you said to me at that point?
Well, I think you had maybe 10 or 15,000 followers, and I said to you, this Instagram thing is so easy. I bet I can beat the number of followers that you have within a couple of months.
And then
I did.
No, motherfucker.
What he said was, I'm going to beat your followers to show how easy it is, and then quit.
Oh,
you didn't have that bit.
But
that's what I'm saying. I'm going to smoke even more than you, and I'm going to get lung cancer and die before you. What?
That's a strange analogy, but yeah, okay.
I think it works.
We do not promote cigarettes.
I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm turning into Samuel L. Jackson over the course of this podcast. Yeah, I'm enjoying it, though.
So it escalated really quickly, and it went from, you know, 10,000 followers within 2 weeks to 350,000 followers within 6 months, and then it kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then I started to realise that I've got a platform, I've got a voice, and my original idea was to get a community of dads involved in the parenting discussion, to put across our side of the story and, you know, have the complete picture. Of course, what I have is 90% female followers.
Almost as if they can't be asked.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What a shocker.
Yeah. Oh, hang on, I'm laughing at that.
I just realised
what that meant. So that's where we are.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, why do you think that is? Why do you think, like you said, you were trying to represent dads and that angle? Why is it so many of your followers are women?
I don't know.
Was it the fact you took a photo of yourself in the shower?
I mean, that helps.
Was it the fact you went on that cycle charity holiday with all your really hot friends?
By the way, it's not a holiday. That was work to raise money.
It was a junket, I believe.
And how
you had a holiday that other people paid for.
You had a few more followers after that trip, didn't you?
I actually lost followers, but my friends all gained followers.
Screw Simon, who's the other one?
Exactly.
Let him answer the question. I feel like it's like he's being patsmaned by a wall of vagina. Let the man speak.
Let him speak. This is my life.
Sorry.
This is my life all over. Completely outnumbered by women and finding it hard to get a word in edgeways. So, yeah, go on. What was the question?
The question was, why do you think so many of your women are followers? Why do you think...
They're all my women.
Why do you think you're the new Hugh Hefner? Why do you think that so many of your followers are women and that more dads aren't engaged with Instagram and with what you're doing?
I think it comes down to the fact that more mums are at home. Mm-hmm. And they have the time with their kids and to be able to engage in social media. And maybe that's terribly stereotypical, but I think that is the way things are at the moment. 11% of my followers still are men, which is, you know, 77,000 men. So it's not a small number. Mm-hmm. But they very rarely comment. Very rarely. And if they do, it's to make a nasty comment.
Really?
Yeah.
What, the men?
Yeah. Only a very small fraction that make a comment. It's usually something like, why are you doing this? It's like, well...
Oscar Wilde. Let me reconsider my life choices
Because I'm trying to start a parenting conversation that involves you. But I guess some dads just don't want to talk about their family life, and which is fine as well. I made the decision to open up and talk about it because not many people were, and hopefully people take away from some of the things I talk about the fact that we all struggle with stuff all the time, and being able to admit that is okay. Whereas I don't think dads are very good at admitting, or men are very good at admitting, when something's gone wrong or you know, they're struggling. And I struggle with stuff all the time, but I've got this now venting, you know, apparatus called Instagram where I can just talk about it.
It is. So, it's a venting machine. That's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. As long as I dress it up in a nice, funny comment.
But I think it is really good that what you've just touched on there. We've never really talked about that. But, you know, men are notoriously really bad at discussing their emotions and how they're feeling. When they look at stats about sort of depression or postnatal depression in men, the stats are so low because they just don't have that data, because men are really bad at talking about it, you know. Suicide rates of men are actually really high because men don't talk about, like, I'm actually feeling really shit, mate, about this. Mm. You just kind of, you know, ham it up with, let's go to the pub. And I mean, how many of you and your mates do you talk about, like, how hard it is with the newborn? So our friends are now eventually having kids. They don't, do they?
No, it will be a passing comment like, oh, mate, I'm really tired. And then we'll start talking about something else.
Yeah.
You never get into
it. Because I was up all night looking at football and pornography. Yeah, me and all, mate. Beer?
Is this what you men talk about?
Yeah.
Pornography.
Yeah.
Because you are bang on.
I like the one where they dress up as a nurse. Things like that. Yes. Things like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly that. It's as if you've been a fan.
They all talk like that. All men talk like that. Everyone knows that.
Irrespective of where they are geographically in the country, they've all got a East London twang.
Hello, my name's Steve. I'm from Rochdale. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Yeah. I like the one with the cheerleaders.
Anyway, like, but so this is a point that Clemmy made in all of our childbirths, in all of our childbirths.
I was there.
Yeah. But Clemmy was livid with me each and every time because I didn't cry or show any kind of real emotion apart from a little bit of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And Clemmy has come away and still says this at dinner parties because apparently it's embarrassing to me. Oh, yeah, Simon didn't cry. I was like, well, so what? I was happy. Why do I have to shed a tear? I'm not a completely emotionless robot, but still, I was, you know, in the moment.
Hmm. Mm. Or I have a male friend who said to me, "What to say?
Did your husband cry?
My husband got a bit weepy with the first one, especially, and said, you know, we were talking about what names we should call it. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, after what you've just done, you could call it whatever you fucking want.
So, oh my God.
Yes.
And yours?
Yeah, no, he was quite... The first one definitely was very emotional. Mm. And then...
You're dead inside, Sam.
Yeah, I'm starting to think
I don't know. However, Will did say halfway through my labour that he was tired.
I love that.
He was tired. So dead. So dead. But anyway.
But I had a male friend who said to me that he, when he had his first child, he's got four now, but when he had his first one, he expected it to be like this Lion King moment where he would hold up this baby and feel this rush of love and emotion, and he just kind of didn't. He just kind of felt relief that his wife, who'd been in terrible pain for 30 hours, was alive and no longer screaming and telling him to fuck off.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, was that your thing?
Exactly, yeah, that was my thing. I mean, during Clemmy's labour, I also went to my parents' house for lunch, which probably wasn't particularly good.
She is a very good cook, your mum.
She does do a great roast.
I'll be back in a minute.
Well, with the twins, I'd also left halfway through, but that was to go and get ice for Clemmy from the local Subway because she was, you know, addicted to chewing ice, and I had a meatball marinara sub at the same time. So that was,
Surprised you could choke that down.
And
what was going on?
When
Jesus.
He came back, my contractions had really ramped up, so I'd had the hormone drip by then. And he came back with the tub of ice, and I think he could really tell that, you know, I was like not talking anymore.
You're moving, you're bye-bye.
I was just like, no one's speaking. And he came close to the ice, and all I could smell was that meatball sub. And I was just like, but I couldn't say, you absolute fucker, because he had brought back the ice. So I was just like, just don't come so close.
But anyway.
Because I might kill you.
But the point was, it was a moment where I was concentrating on Clemmy more than anything else, making sure that she was okay. And there was a point where you were birthing the twins, and I remember just saying to you, this is just you and I.
Oh, yeah.
And I think my skills of being a birth partner have improved over the time. The first one, I was making jokes, pouring jugs of water over her in the pool. Saying,
let's play charades.
Just like pouring gravy over a turkey, which went down like a sack of shit.
Actually.
Oh, my God.
He actually said
You were basting her.
Yes.
Basting. Oh, wow.
Anyway.
So, Clemmy, let's talk about you, because since you were last on the podcast, obviously things have just gone whoosh for you. You've had the book and all these new followers, but you're still doing the NHS thing.
Yeah, still working at my local hospital, still doing my shifts there. You know what? I will never give that up, because it's the normality in sometimes this crazy Instagram world. And I love going to work and being the midwife. You know, I think it's easy sometimes to be absorbed and consumed by the kind of glitz and glamour, I guess, of what Instagram can give to you and the opportunities I've had. But going to work is like, this is me. I trained as a midwife because I really wanted to be a midwife when I was 18, and I'll never give that up. And it's almost an opportunity for me to forget about everything else and just really focus on, well, the thing that I genuinely love and hopefully I'm quite good at. Sometimes I do get recognised at work, but I try and just, you know, brush past that and just go. It's more like, oh, I've read your book and I found it really helpful, which for anyone that's written a book, that always feels like, that's amazing. That's
yeah, we never
that.
Get that.
No. We might get, I read your book and it was funny, but literally no one has used the word helpful in connection with anything we've ever done.
No, exactly. Yeah. But I love it, and the feeling that I still get when a baby's born, no matter what delivery, is the same feeling I've always had. And I'll never forget a really old school midwife, when I was training as a midwife sort of 10 years ago, said to me, if you ever lose that feeling, it's time to sort of walk away and do something else. And I've never lost that feeling, whatever the birth. And I think for me, that's kind of enough for me to go, of course I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You
know, I bloody love the NHS, and I love it for everything it does and everything it gives us as a family when our children have been sick, and friends. And yeah, I love it. And it's so good to just switch off from Instagram for that one day and just be...
You're not tempted when someone's giving birth, like, hang on.
Let's do a boomerang.
In, out. Oh, that needs a hefty filter. That one does. Oh, too pink.
Lock it up. Oh, no. I did get asked for a selfie.
Oh, did you post
that? Yeah, afterwards, I took the couple down to the postnatal ward, and she was the one that said I'd read your book and everything, and she said, can we get a photo together? And I was like, part of me was like, oh, what? I can't, like, ruin this. Like, this is there. And
this is
like,
what she's waited this whole 9 months for.
Let's get the midwife that wrote the book. And I did. But I don't, you know, I really try and keep it very separate. You're so professional at work, you can't think about, you know, how many followers you've got on Instagram when you're dealing with literally life.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
So what do you do, Simon?
Yes. Have you still got a real job? Do you bring new life into the world?
Yeah.
What do you do?
He's a transporter.
Clemmie and I constantly talk about this. Clemmie's job is an important job, right? She's bringing new life into the world.
She is the monkey out of the Lion King.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And if you boil my job, which is, well, depending on who you speak to, a management consultant, an operations director, or as someone wrote on the internet the other day, oh, he's a marketing consultant. That's why he started his Instagram account.
I mean, all of those are meaningless.
Yeah, exactly. They're just titles. When you put it in comparison, essentially, when you boil down my job, I move numbers around spreadsheets.
Oh.
And speak to people in different countries.
Oh. I mean, that sounds like what you do, Helen. You like a spreadsheet. You've got family in Australia.
Yes, I love spreadsheets. Like Ellie and I, when we're doing, you know, the back of house scummy, sounds like I'm having some kind of anal probe. But anyway, when I sit down to do a spreadsheet, Simon, I enjoy it thoroughly.
Spread those sheets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes. What's your favourite Excel function?
I don't know. I mean, no. That's not something I've ever been asked. I love a good macro.
Oh yes, yeah. Nice.
And who doesn't? So anything that can self-calculate. Anyway, this is making me sound really bad.
Yes,
yeah. Perhaps Clemmie and I should step out for a few minutes
and give some room.
You can open a new tab.
It's getting hot in here. Well, congratulations, Clemmie, on having a real job, and Simon also on having a job.
Thank you. Great.
All right, that's Hooper chat done. We're all pleased. Surely,
let's get a little bit more serious because we're going to have some Madagascar chat.
This is why we're here.
Exciting times, right? Because you two have just come back from Madagascar.
Yeah, we have.
How is King Julian?
A lot smaller than I originally thought.
I'm more of a Melman fan, to be honest.
Are you?
Yes,
we
I
did
love
go
Melman.
And see the
Is that because you fancy David Schwimmer? Yes, is that what this is about? Absolutely. I was a Ross guy for Friends.
Really?
Yes. Oh, come
on. Have you met my husband?
Oh, well, now you put it like that.
Yeah.
So, why were you in Madagascar?
Well, we were invited to go with WaterAid and Sopa Dupa. And we'd had a number of conversations between Clemmie and I. We wanted to use our platform to do something for a charity. And we didn't really have many ideas. And we talked about stuff like we wanted to do something that was close to our hearts rather than just something that was random.
I'd done a little bit with Tommy's, the baby charity, which you probably know about with having had a premature baby. So we'd done a few bits, but...
So for anybody who's not familiar with WaterAid, what do they do?
So WaterAid is all about giving access to clean water to people that don't have it. They've got a target that they want to get access for everyone in the world to have clean water by 2030, which is a pretty huge target to be able to achieve. But we wanted to be part of that. So that's why we said that we'd get involved and try and spread the word around what they were doing.
So that's WaterAid. And then how does Sopa Dupa come into it? Because they make, what do they make? Like hand wash and shower gel and things?
Yeah, hand wash, body lotion. And yeah, so Sopa Dupa are committed to donating £150,000 by 2019 to support WaterAid's global efforts. So it's like a 3-year campaign. So clean water is obviously the most important thing. But actually what they're starting to look at is, yes, you can have clean water for drinking and washing, but you need soap, which obviously as a midwife I'd take for granted, you know, I wash my hands. But in these really rural and very poor villages, it's all been about clean water, but the education hasn't been about the use of soap. So they weren't understanding together that's actually where you're washing away diseases on your hands, which are giving children diarrhoea and women diarrhoea and infections post-birth. So this is where these two have come together. You kind of can't really believe it. We're so fortunate where we are here in the UK. You just don't... Well, we just don't think about it, do we?
Well, you say that because there's a fact. They gave us some facts. One of the facts, which honestly disgusted me...
Ellie did some sick in her mouth.
Made me really unwell. Only 1 in 5 people in the UK wash their hands after using the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I have been witness to men going into the toilet at work... and then not washing their hands. And I always want to say something. Oh. Dude, you're just about to go and shake someone's hand in a second and you've just been holding your cock.
It's not okay.
It's not okay.
But yeah, so why did you go to Madagascar specifically?
So I will admit, embarrassingly, I didn't really know where Madagascar was. We've already had the...
Not seen the films?
Well, this is my only reference to it, which actually for most people it probably was. It's the fourth largest island in the world.
So WaterAid have been in Madagascar for almost 17 years, I think. And so it was a great opportunity for us to go and see the work that they are doing in areas that don't have access to clean water. And also to see the results of what their work has been in areas that now have access.
And specifically, did you meet with other midwives or...?
Yeah, so they really kind of focused the programme around us and our interests. So they were brilliant with... they went into a lot of sort of...
There was a lot of Instagram sessions.
Yeah.
There were some really colourful walls.
They made sure you had Wi-Fi at all times. Yeah. Not always clean water,
People in the villages are coming up to us. Yeah, can you tag me in that picture, please?
Hashtag Madagascar. Hashtag not the film.
So the Madagascan Water Aid team were doing loads of sort of work before we went out there, and they were visiting all the villages to really make it appropriate that we went out there. So a lot of the things, like, they were meeting with the midwives out there, and there's always a mayor of these villages. They were saying it's really hard to talk to these villages where they haven't got access to clean water, because they're quite suspicious, and there has to be kind of a mutual agreement between the village and the charity that we're going to come in and help you. You know, you've kind of got to get everyone on board.
It wasn't just that. Some of these places have been screwed over.
Yeah. Well, this is it. The history of white people coming to Africa and going, hey, guys, let's sort this out. And that hasn't always gone well.
Well, we were really worried about that. And we met with Water Aid a lot of times before we went. And we just said, look, we don't want to just go out there and be having photos with, you know, poor African kids. We want this to be really meaningful and appropriate to what we do back home.
Yeah. And there had been other kind of almost made up NGOs that had gone out there, and they said, oh yeah, no, well, we'll sort out your water access if you chip in some money towards it. And they would basically take money from people who have pretty much nothing.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And then just do a run up. Yeah. And it kind of just made me think, Jesus. Yeah. Whereas Water Aid has come in and made a real difference in some of these communities. And they've got long-term strategies in place rather than just a kind of hit-and-run thing.
And it's a really long process. So the first day we went into the sort of pre-intervention village, which they haven't got access to clean water. So they're on the list, Water Aid are sort of going to get to them. But I was saying, you know, your initial reaction, your knee-jerk is like, right, well, let's go, let's do it. But it takes ages. So it's about an 18-month process because it's all about the education beforehand. Mm-hmm. The story that really stuck with me is that we were with this lovely woman called Rabina. She was 17, having her second baby. And I did her antenatal check in the clinic. So it was really lovely. And then we went and visited where she lived with her mother, husband, and little boy, and her father, actually. And then we did what was called the walk to water. So we walked with them in very hot. It was probably about 30 degrees, midday sun. And we walked to the river and we followed them. And so she's 8 months pregnant, and her mother was probably in her 50s and put the toddler on her back. Oh,
at least. She was probably older than that. She put me to shame. That woman. she could lug a 25 kilo jug of water. And
then no one's sponsoring her, Simon.
Exactly.
And they haven't got shoes, so they're just walking on, you know, the ground as it is, and we're walking and it's really hot. And you're trying not to make look you're struggling. We go down to the river, and they pick up their jerry cans and they're filling it, and I picked up an empty bottle of water and filled it up, and I was sort of looking at it and I was saying, well, it doesn't look that bad, you know, this water looks fine. And then out the corner of our eye, some zebus, they're like Madagascan cows, come down the path and start basically going for a wee and a poo in the river, and it's like 100 metres away from where we are.
It was less than that. It was about 5 metres away.
And Rabina and
they've been married a long time, let's not get into it.
Women and distances.
Do you think that women can't judge size accurately?
Yay!
Is that what this is about? Is that what this is really about?
Yes, they underestimate everything.
Yeah, okay.
What my point was, Simon and Ellie and Helen, is that they were continuing to carry the water, yet they weren't making the connection with, well, everyone's using this river to wash in the animals. Are pooing and weeing in it, and you can't understand why you're all getting sick.
Yeah, and it leads to statistics like 5,000 children dying every year in Madagascar because of dysentery, because of diarrhea.
Basically diarrhea. Mm.
Which is
ridiculous. All from water. Ridiculous. And in the health centre, when I was with the midwife in the morning, they had a well, so I sort of learnt how to get water from the well, and I thought, oh, this is fairly good. And we had a bucket of water, and then we did the antenatal clinic, which both of you have mothers, you know what that's like, and quite similar to the UK, pretty similar, apart from the fact that you're in a very unclean hut. And then the midwife showed me the bucket of water that I collected an hour before, and there were leeches in it that had hatched. And that is the water that the midwife is washing her hands before she touches and examines the women. And this midwife, they all train very similarly to the UK. It's a 3 sort of year degree or a college. This midwife, Tolcha, had left her home town. She lived in a town where she had access to clean water, and her husband had moved to this village. So she'd given up access to clean water and moved to this village with her husband and young daughter. And I said to her, but you know that this water isn't clean. You know, she's an educated woman. She's a midwife. How does it make you feel? And she said, I've got no choice. You would do the same. And I was just like, it was heartbreaking.
Mm. So, Simon, how was it for you? Because obviously you don't have the midwife angle, but, you know, what...
Well, in theory, I have enough qualifications to be a midwife. Being married to one, I know how it works.
That's all you
now.
Have to do, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But while I was out there, I actually spent time with the fathers. I did something that I'd never done before. I ploughed a paddy field, kind of shocked by the number of boys that were involved as well. So it's really anyone from the age of 6 to 10, once they get to that age, they're expected to go out and work. And that means that they're not in school, not getting an education. And then I went to go and work in a brickyard. This is basically taking clay from the ground and putting it into a mould and just building bricks. And these guys were under contract to build 100,000 bricks in 1.5 months between three of them. And they were paid, I think it worked out at 25p a day, which was pretty insane considering the amount of hard graft that they were doing. We asked the question, you know, what are your hopes and dreams for your kids? And they didn't actually understand the question because they can't see beyond the life they currently have. So their aspiration is that my son will do what I did. Mm-hmm. Whereas we went to a post-intervention village where they now had access to clean water. And that happened in February of this year. So 6 months they've had it. And the answer to that question was markedly different. Mm-hmm. So they were saying that they wanted to be a health professional. They wanted to be a teacher. They wanted them to move to the city. They wanted them to do something that was different, something that didn't mean they had to live the same life that their parents had lived. And that was one of the things that really choked me up, because in this situation, people can't see beyond their own means. They can't see beyond their own situation.
Or is it that they're just... You know, if it's about survival, then that becomes all-consuming. That's,
of course,
you know.
It's completely all-consuming, and I get that. But the ability, it's amazing the difference that just a simple thing like water and hygiene can make. Kids were in school longer.
Yeah.
It meant that parents didn't have to work as long, and especially mothers and women in general, they weren't having to do the water runs, because instead of walking half an hour down to the river, they could walk 5 or 6 metres to the nearest water point, collect the water, know it was clean and safe, and mean that they could actually be productive in their own right as well. As I said before, a simple thing like water can make such a huge difference that we can't quite comprehend unless you see it for yourself.
Mm. What can people do if they want to get involved?
Loads. I mean, obviously fundraising, there's lots of ways you can fundraise. So Global Handwashing Day, which kicks off in a couple of weeks... you can go to soapaduper.com to win a hand washing kit for the family, and which is about £15. They're really fun. You get your kids to put this stuff in their hands and then get them to wash, so they can't see it, it's like a sort of gel. Get them to wash their hands really well, and then with this like UV pen, you shine it on their hands and
see. Oh, yes.
It's really fun, and you can see who's washed their hands the best.
Like CSI.
Yeah.
It is exactly like CSI.
Not exactly, hopefully, but well, you know. No.
And the other thing you can do is go to wateraid.org, and you can go and find out lots more information there as well. So do go and check it out, see the information out there, and just check out what they're doing.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. I feel like we've actually done a bit of serious chat.
It's extraordinary scenes, Ellie.
Yeah.
It's not just all cock and balls. It's like actual facts.
But like, you know, we're making a control. I am a good person.
Yes, I am a good person. You are, Ellie Gibson. It is time now, Ellie, for our favourite game. It is Handbag Surprise. Handbag Surprise.
Yes, we're going to play Manbag Surprise. Let's see.
What's in Simon's
Dove for Men Clean Comfort Micro Moisture Body and Face Wash.
Oh, very
do you
nice.
Use that on your body and your face?
Yes, both.
The carpets match the curtains. Good
very
to
nice.
Know.
Ellie, I found something really worrying.
Oh, what's that?
Well, he's got a new SIM card for Vodafone, but he's not with Vodafone, so he's obviously moonlighting or having an affair.
Or the company I work for is switching provider.
Ah, oh, there's always a good reason.
A likely story.
Here's like a work pass card. Pass
that guy?
Thank you for not looking at that picture.
Where's your stubble?
I was carrying some winter weight back then.
Oh, you
thanks.
Hang on.
On the 7th of September, 2017, at 23:15 p.m, Simon Hooper, did you or did you not purchase one Whopper large and cheese, large fries, large Coke, subtotal £7.59.
Yeah, I guess so.
You said you were working late. I was.
This is a jigsaw puzzle. Here's a Tesco receipt.
Oh dear. Ellie, we might know too much.
K White. What? crisps and beer. That's tedious. Oh, what else? That's the sort of front pocket. In the main pocket of the rucksack, there's just one product. It's some VO5 Extreme Style Matte Clay for texture and definition with a matte finish. Do you like a matte finish?
I certainly do. Yeah. It holds everything in place.
not that scummy.
Oh, I like a late night Burger King. That's very impressive, Cooper. Yeah,
that was a lot later than I've been out for a long period of time, so I'm not sure how that got in there.
Let me rifle through my bag.
It feels so dirty.
A Prosecco, one of the wire cage things.
A wire cage.
Oh, my God. That is a pizza crust. A very old one as well.
That is disgusting.
Can I just say, she has a lot of napkins from Nero's.
Yeah. Yes,
I do like to bring a napkin home with me.
Helen, wow. Your bag makes me really anxious.
Does it?
Ellie,
yeah,
how
do really disorganised.
I can't look in it.
Done.
Right, I'm going to wind this up, and I'm going to say that of the handbag, manbag surprise, I think the pizza crust takes it. So there we go. Well, listen, before we go, can we have a scummy mummy confession, Hoopers? Now, do you want to do this separately, or...
You know I'm not that scummy, but I think...
No, okay.
Okay. But I think, Simon, you should lead with this, because when Simon's in charge of the twins, hilariously, almost dangerous to death situations happen. So, very quickly, the twins have drawn all over our carpet with my favourite red lipstick on the day we're trying to sell a house. Tell them what happened this morning when you went into the twins' room.
Oh, Ottie was standing on the windowsill, whacking against the window, just going, wah, rah. Imagine if you...
Imagine
if you were a person going to work, just walking, they've locked me in here! So that was good fun.
But not very scummy, though, is it?
The problem is there's two of them, and I can't have two eyes going in different directions. So there's always something that's going to... bad that's going to happen, and it usually happens to me. So,
well, there we go. So yeah, again, if people want to get involved, it's wateraid.org, is that right?
Correct.
Sopaduper.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your book, Clemmy, is called How to Grow Baby Push It Out.
Still available, obviously, still. And Simon's got a book coming out next year, but we're going to save that for next time, aren't we?
I have, yeah.
Oh, will you come back and do a sort of Simon only, perhaps?
Absolutely, I'd love to, as long as I get to wear the spandex as well.
It's obligatory.
You wait.
Yes.
Just you wait.
Our book's
still available, isn't it, Ellie Gibson?
It certainly is. Yes, and if you want to come and see us live, go to scummymummies.com for details of all our live dates. We've got Cambridge and Chester and
Manchester, Tunbridgewell.
If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends.
All the things.
And follow us on the Instagram and all of that at Scummy Mummies.
And where can we find you, chimps?
I'm mother of daughters on Instagram, and Simon, funnily enough, is father of daughters.
Thank you so much, Hoopers, and thank you for having us in your lovely home.
Aww.
Until next time. Bye!
Bye! Bye.
We wanted to do a bit more of a substantial partnership, basically, and raise...
That's them now.
That'll
You're misrepresenting the charity.
That'll be my mum.
They've got a landline. So archaic.
We're just recording a podcast.
Sorry, yes, we have got a landline. We didn't realise it's 2017. I'm so sorry. Is it not 2010?
I'm going to call tomorrow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.